Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? LegalShield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it. Now release slowly. Again, deep inhale. Hold. Repeating internally to yourself as you connect to my voice. I am deeply well. I am deeply well. I am deeply well. I'm Debbie Brown, and this is the Deeply Well podcast.
Welcome to Deeply Well, a soft place to land on your journey, a podcast for the curious and the creative that are ready to expand in higher consciousness and self-care. This is where we heal. This is where we become. I'm Debbie Brown. Welcome to the show. As always, thank you for being here. We are going to dive into some things today. I got a multi-hyphenate, multi-dimensional in the building. Today's special guest is Gia Peppers. Gia Peppers is an award-winning on-air talent, entertainment journalist, podcaster, and content creator who is known for her work as a contributor on NBC's primetime morning show staple, The Today Show, and her Radio 1 program, More Than That with Gia Peppers. She currently serves as a host for Amazon Music's R&B Rotation Radio, Amazon Music Live Thursday Night Football Pre-Show, and the linear version of her award-winning radio show, More Than That with Gia Peppers on Revolt TV, which I was a guest on. Gia has partnered with Michelle Obama's When We All Vote campaign as a social ambassador, and she lends her voice to Color of Change's Tell Black Stories and hashtag Change Hollywood initiatives. She is a graduate of Rutgers University with a degree in journalism and media studies and splits her time between New York and Los Angeles.
Hi,
you read the whole thing. I'm sitting there like, wow.
That's your life.
You forget because you just try to be so present.
Yeah.
In today.
Yeah.
Because it's so demanding.
Ooh.
But I'm grateful for the journey. And I'm so grateful. The episode that you are on for More Than That is one of my favorites. I loved our meditation, the guided practices. Mm. But every time I have a show, I'm going to have you on. Like, I just hope everyone knows.
Every time.
Every single time. Like, and a good guest for that would actually be Debbie Brown. But it's because, one, you've been literally what your show says, a soft place to land for me for like at least 7 years, maybe probably before that. And like every time I see you, you are that space in person, virtually through the pandemic. We connected a lot on IG Lives. And like, I just remember being like, wow, thank God for Debbie Brown. So I'm just so grateful you exist. And I'll be listening to y'all guided meditations. Like your voice is always like, when I'm like super crazed or very overwhelmed, I'm like, okay, let me go open a Deepak app and get my people together. And then now you have this space as well. So I'm just so glad you're taking up your space because we need you out here.
Gia, come on. How are you going to just shower
just
me?
Just start there.
With the blessings and the grace, like in the first 2 minutes of the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really received that in an incredibly deep way. Thank you so much.
I love you.
And it's been, I love you. And it's been, you know what I think is so beautiful? And you spoke to this. I mean, we've actually far more than 7 years. Like we've known each other a long time.
Like I remember it was in passing in the industry for a while.
Yeah.
And then it was like, we have so many mutual friends. So we would always find each other on like retreats or those like events, you know? And then it was like, okay. I have her number. Let me text her. Let me see if she, like, you know, like, I love that it, a lot of gradual things happen in the industry where you see people and after a while you're like, you think you know them, but we have no idea who people really are.
Oh my God, can we speak?
Like,
oh my God.
Until you get at a dinner table, like, which is why, please bring back people. I know Hollywood is closed, but when it gets back open, I used to love those private dinners because you could finally sit down and talk to people you admire. And New York used to be the space, but honey, there was a dinner like every week.
Girl. Yeah, a little less frequently, but let's bring that back. Yeah. You know what? It's so interesting you say that. I would love to talk about that point because I think that is something that is important for people to learn on their journey, especially if you are really under 30, around, especially like a 25, 26, because the thing that kind of I always try to stay away from in the industry is just because like we like the way each other looks, right? Like just because we see each other from afar and connect in some kind of way, it does not mean that we know each other. And so something I really try to be very present with in my life, my adult life and through my career is I never want to refer to anybody in a way that isn't true for my heart. Like, I don't want to use industry jargon like, oh yeah, oh, that's big bro, that's big sis, that's this. And I stopped that like so early, like early 20s, because I was like, I don't even know these people at all, actually. You know, and it's like, there needs to be space to slowly and gently get to know one another. Like, there's not this race to like, oh yeah, that's my girl, that's my, oh yeah, I know, we go way, like, I am not available for that part of the performance, you know? And sometimes that feels a little alienating or you might just see me kind of big chilling or be one-on-one with someone, but I can't connect to that. I don't want to be content for someone. I don't want to be collected by someone for how they think they're perceived if we're connected. You know, like all the little kind of Tetris pieces that play into how people make choices of who they're seen with and what they do. That has always, it just has never been for me.
Yeah. I think it's something that you also don't realize you're doing until someone puts your feet to the fire.
Ooh.
And like, you know, we when cancel culture started really blowing up on Twitter and Instagram, there were people in so many circles where you thought you knew them and you were like, oh no, not only did I not know you that well, we really didn't have the relationship that like, just because we're in the same circles doesn't mean we all know each other in a way that we claim or even have even said. So I even in scripts, like sometimes I'll be like, I know that this person is a guest on the show, but like, I won't really say sis or bro until I've at least had several years of like being around you and knowing
absolutely
who you are. Because I also believe that God calls us with certain people on purpose.
Yeah.
Like I grew up in this industry with a lot of amazing peers, a lot of amazing women to look up to, like you, like Lovey, like Yvonne, like so many incredible people, like Jovi and Zane, and then peers like Sylvia O'Bell and Scotty Beam and all my girls from Black Girl Podcast. Like we all came up together. Like it wasn't an accident that we all walked into Hot 97 Studios and started a podcast. So I look at, I try to always make sure I'm not being fake, but then I'm also being real with myself. I'm like, well, she might be my sister in hustle. She might be a person that like,
that
at the end of the day, we might not do one-on-ones every weekend. She might not be my best friend in the world, but if I need to call her and ask her like, sis, I got this weird interview request. What would you do? Or what does this look like from someone who has seen every evolution of my career so far? What do you think?
Yeah.
I think there is value in that. And so I always try to play it smart, because there's been a couple of times where someone has been like, are you really friends with that person? And then I'm like, no, we just kind of took a picture together. And then there's a rapport,
yeah.
But it wasn't like can I really say that, like, if I wasn't in this position, would they still be my friend?
Yes. Yes. Ooh. Yeah. Oh, I love where we're going with this episode, girl. Listen.
Yes.
You know what? And that was such a lesson I learned, and I'm so grateful for it, really early in my career, like 22.
Mm.
Because I remember I had gotten in, well, that's a whole nother, I worked some crazy places, listen, with some wild people. But I remember I had left a gig in like my early 20s, and I was just kind of paying attention to patterns and seeing how in the industry, everyone was always, it was about your title. Even if someone didn't even know what you did or did it well, it's like people were so dazzled by these bizarre ways that we were self-promoting. And I was just always, it just was always unsettling with me. And I remember when I got out of that gig, and I saw things change. I think I was away from having an active gig for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like it changes and you don't get invites and things happen. And that part I get, because make no mistake, the industry is transactional. It's built to be.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be in the industry looking for our deepest friendships and to create family. Mm-hmm. That's not what it is. So it's like, enjoy it for what it is. Understand the role you're playing and, you know, the things that are going to happen, but then really fill your life with more depth in other ways. But anyway, so I was peeping that, and I was around like 22, 23. And so I said, when you're back in the industry, you're never going to rely on a title again. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you do. So from 23, whether it was like the IG buy or whatever, I just committed myself to never only selling myself for who I was affiliated with at that time. And I was always like, you're going to have to dig me. And if we're going to be connected, it's because you know me as a person.
Speak.
You know,
that
and it
literally
just...
Literally my first major experience with that truth was also around that time. Like when I was 22, 23, and I had graduated. We were in the middle of a recession in 2012. So it was still like... Debbie, when I tell you I interned everywhere, that was an internship.
You have had a vast career.
I was
truly.
Like, I just wanted to make sure that I understood this major thing I was about to get into. And at that time, entertainment was still bubbling. Like, it wasn't as crazy as it was now.
And it wasn't a space where everyone could create. It was still very much there were gatekeepers. If you didn't have a place to go where they did things, like, you weren't making content.
Yes.
You weren't, yeah.
Right. Content creation, like, you... There was a YouTube space, but it wasn't connected to the entertainment space as deeply as it is now.
Totally.
And so when I got, I think after, when was my first like months without work? Shout out to all the creatives. Y'all know what we're talking about. My first like big span of months without work was when, so my last day job, like full-time desk job, was at Essence Magazine doing the associate editor work for EssenceFest.com. Mm-hmm. And at that time, this was, had to be like 2017. At that time, they wouldn't keep Essence Fest staff on the whole year. You were brought on just through February to like July, end of July, and then you were gone. And so that was one, when I learned that talent that was coming down for the festival was making like so much more money than I was that month based off of that one weekend. And I was like, you making 10K for 2 days and I might not even touch 10K this month and I'm working way harder and I'm writing pieces and I can't stay for, like, I was never, I will be talent next year. And I was, but one of the things that happened was in July, I was always working with the Wizards. I was working with Ebro at that time, but everything stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that I defined myself as a hustler, as a person that was in the room, I was like, all this no one is, you can't call me that right now because these jobs no longer exist. Yeah. And at that point, that's when I decided, I'm like, no, I'm just going to be Gia Peppers. At the end of the day, if that's good enough for you, that's great. You want me in that space? That's great. It is a transactional space. So if you ran out of room at your table and you need to keep the girls from, you know, Essence and Vanity Fair and everybody there, I get it. Because I might not be able to report on something at, to those, to that magnitude. But at the same time, I couldn't, I had to learn to remove myself from a job. Girl, because at the end of the day, what we do is really not who we are. And entertainment consumes you because you go to an event, you go to a party, you go to this, you go to the after party, then in 4 hours, you're back at the desk working and doing or reporting or doing something. So you really do feel like your life is caught up in it. But the scary part is, especially in media, you can have the biggest, I've seen it. I've seen my favorite editors ever have the dopest jobs. One day they were sitting with Queen Latifah and Oprah at a round table, and the next day they don't have a job.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, it's this scary reality, but it forces you to double down on who you know you are and whose you know you are and what your purpose is. Mm. Because at the end of the day, you were just there for that pit stop. If you were meant to be there, you might come back. You never know. Don't burn the bridge. However, you have to learn how to like really take yourself out of that, or else it'll drive you crazy. It drove me crazy. But that's when I came to my like, oh,
and it
I'm still going to be Gia.
Yes. And it is hard to pull yourself out of that, which is why I would say the majority can't, you know? And I'm not a high, not a low, mm-hmm. but just real. Mm-hmm. It requires you to stop avoiding yourself. Ooh. With the validation you're craving and sometimes receiving. To stop, you know, seeing yourself based on the people you're positioning as authority figures. Ooh. In your life and what them noticing you or seeing you means to you or what you think it means about you. Mm-hmm. And that it's really the path of an outlier. Mm-hmm. Because if that's how everyone else is existing, it does make you different in a way that can be alienating. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for myself, like something that still people get frustrated with is that I don't walk into a room and say, this is who I am. This is where I've worked. This is what I've done. And people are always like, you got to stop being so humble. I'm like, it's not about being humble. I know who I am.
Period.
I'm very clear.
Period.
And I know exactly what I bring into every room I walk in, whether that is for work, friendship, as a mother. I know what all of this can do. But I'm also not moved by it. And me impressing you isn't giving me validation. You know, I'm not seeking to impress you. I'm not seeking to please anyone.
Yeah.
I want to show up in my dignity. I want to show up in my worth. I want to show up in the things I do well. And that's enough, and that's, you know?
And it's, how do you deal with social media? Because, because for me, I be sitting there like, dang, I know we live in a time and space where if you don't post it, it didn't happen. Yeah. And it's even like a game changer in getting gigs and getting paid. Like it is it's a source of income. I have brand deals and partnerships, but then there are weeks, Debbie, where I'm like, I don't care if y'all see what I do.
Girl, I don't.
But it also does hurt me in my followership. Really? And in my engagement. Yeah. So on one end, it's like, you got to play the game. Yeah. Because unfortunately, this industry is built off of who sees you doing what you do. Even though you know what you do is purpose-based and incredible and, you know, sometimes hard. But if you just don't feel like posting, does that take away from the magnitude of who you are? It's such a weird thing that I'm actually worried. I'm like, I really want to ask you, how do
can
you
we, I'm like, it? Can we talk about
yes.
this? Because I this is so deeply important, I feel, for so many to hear this conversation that we're having. Because I actually challenge that. Mm. I don't believe that. Mm. There was about 2 years ago, I changed the way I interacted with social media. Because I was just, I want to really live my life, right? So like, I can't feel my real life moments if I'm trying to also capture them on film as I'm living them, or capture them in photo and post in real time as I'm living them. I don't want that. And I think at this age, I've had enough historical content and life experience to know that I'm I'm good as long as I'm good with me, you know, and that my life feels best when I'm really living it and I'm not connecting to how it's being perceived, because there is no way to know what everybody is thinking about me. And God dang, I don't care.
Don't care.
You know, I think I actually really challenge that now, because so about 2 years ago, I changed the way I did social media and I was just like, I want to share what I feel called to. I don't want to have this game plan. I don't want to post everything I'm doing, because a lot of the work I'm doing, people aren't going to get anyway.
And it's sacred.
It's sacred.
You have to experience it for yourself.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's sacred. And I think also something felt in disharmony with me that I was doing work that felt so sacred and then being pressured to run and kind of post about it so other people could think it was worthy. Mm. And I was just like, you know what? No. And so 2 years ago, I stopped doing that. I might post something I do a year later, you know, like I might post something, I don't know when. But I actually found whenever I go into meetings places and they want me to quantify myself with my social, it's not for me. Mm. I am not an influencer. I'm not a content creator. Sometimes I create things that I share and you are consuming it as content in your day.
Right.
But that's not what it is for me. I don't want my things that I create and put my soul into, or that took me a lifetime to learn, to have this shelf life and just be validated based on how many people in the algorithm see it in this moment.
Ooh, because the algorithm, you could put 2-3 hours of work into a video that is explaining your whole life story. And girl, it's like, girl, 6 people saw it.
And then why are we leaking energy in that way? Who said anyone is even deserving of hearing that depth? You know, it's like, I personally, and this is not everyone do what you wish, I have no judgment on it, but I don't post my child on social media. And I don't post him because he is the most sacred thing about my life. Mm. And I don't care if other people see him and talk about how this or that he is. I care that me and the people in his life see him, validate him, are present with him. I don't want my child to be necessarily witnessed by everyone else at this very precious time that he's mine.
Especially when he can't really opt in.
He can't. I don't have his consent.
That's what I'm saying.
And I don't have his consent to share his life like that.
And there are some kids who are about it. Like, there are some kids who are stars. Like,
yeah.
Bow Wow's daughter, I fan of you, Shy. I feel like she's my, like, stepdaughter. I don't, you know.
That's
like,
a beautiful child.
She's a beautiful, but she's got so much talent and gifting that she wants the world
to
see.
Absolutely.
I think if I was a kid, I probably would be the same way. I remember, like, you know, always dancing in my room. Always, I was hosting talk shows. I couldn't be in Time Out because my mother would open the door at 2-3 years old and find me hosting talk shows with my dolls as my guest and my stuffed animal as my co-host.
Oh my God.
When I was a baby. So I could never be in Time Out. I had to get spanked. Sorry, Mama, I told him. But it was true. But it's okay. I was fine, I think. But at the end of the day, what I say all that to say is, like, every child will be different. And I love that your child is like, until y'all are ready.
Yeah, totally.
Then that's what it is.
And that can change. But it's like, I'm just present with what is.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Deeply. Wow.
To the point that you were making about sharing things and having to kind of self-promote sometimes, I will say that in the last 2 years of really doing absolutely no self-promotion on social, and not really posting any of the campaigns or the work or the clients and the partnerships I've been a part of, I have made more money than I've ever made in my entire life.
Wow.
And I have done more work that has been so profoundly meaningful to me than I have ever done in my entire life. And it's like, I feel like even just kind of reprogramming myself for my own pride, for my team's pride and connection to the work, for the people that I'm working with's pride and connection to the work, to not only be enough, but feel like it's a surplus, but feel like it's overflowing. Mm. That's what life actually felt like prior to Instagram.
Woo.
So I think, you know, if you know that's not your path, and for some people that's not the case, and there's no judgment either way where you fall on that spectrum of sharing, but for those that are resonating with what we're kind of talking about, I want you to know that that is a viable path. Mm. You just have to commit to it and stop second guessing yourself.
Mm.
And if, and when I walk into rooms and they ask for my numbers and I say, no, I don't do that.
Mm.
Or no, I don't sell on my page. I don't want to sell products. I don't want to advertise. It actually changes people.
Mm.
And they usually look at that and say, wow, everyone else is doing that. Who doesn't have a lot of followers on social media these days?
Right.
That is not, and it, we also realize now that it doesn't actually necessarily mean anything because people follow other people for a multitude of reasons. They could just like your eyebrows and be a dedicated follower
just to see the
everything
brows,
that you do, yes. Right? It doesn't mean that it's quality or not quality, you know?
Yeah.
So it just, I think once we make a choice and we commit to whatever that choice is, the universe will come in, it'll create the pathway that makes it meaningful for us.
Mm, I like that. I'm gonna listen back to that because I'm gonna need to remember that. It's something I actually like really sit and pray about because I'm like, I wanna make sure that I steward my platform well. I steward the people that God did put in my path and put eyes on my journey for some reason. I do wanna make sure I show up.
Absolutely.
I wanna make sure that I'm in my position. I don't want to get to heaven and God be like, girl, you were sitting watching Netflix when I told you to make this, gave you a word to share with the people. Now what you doing? So
yeah.
I want to make sure I balance it. And I think it's like you said, I have to make sure it's all intentional. Like my team understands, everyone understands, like even if I do have to do ads, look, income. But if I do it, it's got to be in a space that's really intentional for the building of the people that are around me, that God has called to like journey with me. And I think that's an amazing, thank you for that. That's good. You just helped me with that. See?
So,
everybody, deeply well.
Deeply well, deeply well. Gia, I'm so curious because ever since I've known you, you've always been someone that absolutely was in the industry, but not of the industry. Like you have always had a light about you and a different internal guidance system that was like, always noticeable and apparent in you. And I think anytime I'd been in a room with you, there was just always something that really did set you apart or shine light on you in a much different, deeper, fuller way.
Oh, thank you.
What is your belief system? How do you honor these gifts that you have been blessed with?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you kind of... how do you cultivate that inner light?
Yeah. My one, I thank you so much for that because that means a lot. Sometimes I don't feel like it. Like there is, it's there because, you know, light flickers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that like is a real thing in, that has been a part of my journey. And so I'm learning now at 33, the Jesus year, how to, you know, how to really activate the things I say I believe in my life and who I am and what I'm called to do.
Mm.
But I think that all really started for me, you know, grew up in the church. Mom is super big on church, and both sides are. My dad's family is actually Jehovah's Witness. So it was interesting to see the different practices and how, like,
because that's so different. Oh, my goodness.
So different. And but they grew up Baptist. Like, my dad went to college and came back, and his whole family was Jehovah's Witness. So it was very interesting. Very, like, you know, he was like, I'm at this point 22. Like, I'm not about to, like, learn a whole new way of being, you know, like, my dad, and mom had very different, upbringings, but my dad's mom and my mom's mom, the Black church is very important to our upbringing. So we were always in church. You know, my first big, like, choir stage moments were, like, really important for me. And I remember seeing the Holy Spirit move for the first time for myself at, like, 13 years old. And we were singing On God, the Solid Rock I Stand, All Other Ground is Sinking Sand, on Christ, the Solid Rock. And I just saw the Spirit move from, like, left to right in the church. Wow. And I was like, ooh, I wonder what that is. Like, you know God. I know God because my mom's like, every night you do your prayers. We say our prayers. We pray over dinner. We go about our days. But as a child, you really don't know because your parents are the covering for you until you get out into the world. And so that's when I first saw the Holy Spirit move, was like when I was in the choir. Then for me, I started really understanding that, like, life is big and deep and painful and scary when I was graduating college. And I remember just having so much pressure put on me from everybody, but mostly myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself because I had worked so hard. I didn't go to no $2 Tuesdays at the bars because I was always...
No Four Locos
for me. I was always that... I'm the oldest. My parents, when in my high school years, we lived about 45 minutes outside of D.C., but all of my friends lived in D.C. So wasn't nobody taking me home. So I wasn't really drinking before like I was supposed to. Like, I waited... I was the kid that cared about rules. I cared about everything. I cared about making my parents proud. I cared about being a role model. Like, I cared. My mom and dad told me from the time I was 2 years old, you know, kid, you are the oldest in this family. The kids are watching you. So whatever you do, they will do.
Mm.
I wouldn't tell my child that. I would say, baby, you a baby. These your babies. they're your friends.
That's a lot of pressure. Why I got to be the leader?
But they were doing what they were taught. Both of my parents are the oldest in their family. So they didn't realize how that would affect me. But looking back, I have learned how to unlearn things. It's very hard, though. I still be like, oh my God, people are watching. But I'm like, girl, shut up. I care. Like, girl, shut up. But so in college, I watched a sermon from one of my pastors, one of my home churches. I go to a lot of church, but it's called First Baptist Church of Glen Arden in Prince George's County in Maryland. And the pastor is Pastor John Jenkins. And he had this sermon about fear and how God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of love and power of a sound mind. That's in 2 Timothy, I think, or 1 Timothy 1:5-7. I gotta make sure I get that. But what it was the first time I heard it for myself and actually, like, heard it. Right. And I was like, oh, so everything I'm feeling is a joke, is a trick. Like, I'm really in here in my room, freaking out, crying for hours because I don't have a job. I'm scared. All these things are happening. And it's not even from God. Like, God didn't give me that feeling. And so from that point, I started actively paying attention to what my belief systems were actually giving me to do. How was I showing up in those? Because fear up until that point had been a real big marker of my college career. I was just afraid to make a mistake, afraid to be wrong, afraid to miss my internship call, like always afraid. And I was just like, I didn't really ever get the lesson. I think I'm finally getting that lesson. But that's when I started that journey. And then one of my friends was killed in a drive-by shooting the summer after we graduated. Shout out to Kristen Lair, DKK. That's my baby. I was working at CBS Radio News. It was my first gig in the industry. I was working overnights in the newsroom. And I got a call from one of my friends who went to college with me but was from Boston where the drive-by shooting happened. And she was like, girl, isn't this your friend KK? They said rest in peace. Like, they're posting her rest in peace online. I'm like, girl, please, that ain't her. I just texted her 2 weeks ago. She asked about my earrings. Like, no, let me see. Text me the picture. and it was her. So I pull over. I will never forget. I was on the Brooklyn Bridge and I pulled over in right at the, like right before you get on. And there was like construction. I pulled over in a construction zone because I called my friend and I was like, is it true? And they're like, yeah. I just start bursting out crying. I'm almost late for work. And I'm just like, no. We all just graduated from college. Like all of us. I went to Rutgers. Some of my friends went to St. John's from D.C. And so I was always at St. John's because New Jersey was, shout out to Jersey, but it wasn't really my vibe. And so I was always in Queens and New York hanging out with my friends on the weekends. And so I got super close to Kristen. She's a PK. And so when we went up to her funeral, they kept it open casket for the wake. And there were pictures of all of us circling on the back screen because they wanted to show her life. And when I tell you, the church was full. She was a youth minister. She was doing all these incredible things. Her dad was so big in Boston, is so big in Boston, that he called together all the pastors in their area to come and pray over every single teenager, just recent grad, every one of KK's friends. So we get on that stage. They prayed over us. They prayed that we would understand that the value of life, that we wouldn't be sad, we wouldn't be angry, we wouldn't be dismissive of this moment, and that we wouldn't ever smite God for taking our friend. Like at this moment, this dad, mind you, her mother had passed away years before. So at this point, this is a father who has lost his wife and daughter, and now only him and his son is left. And he's still like, God is so good. And I was just like, what type of faith is that? Because I am angry. I'm sad. My friend was not in anything that had to do with what happened in that drive-by. She was just a person sitting with her friends, and we were all angry. But one thing they had on the seats was her Vibe magazine article. She was already writing. She was already in the journalism world. She had taken her internships and they were just going so well. And when I left that funeral, I was like, I have no reason not to live and go after every single dream and go after every single thing, because I have no idea when God will finally call me up. But I do know that I'm going to want to have to like, want to be like, yo, I really went after it. I really went after every dream, Lord, every gift that you gave me, I used it. And so that was how I came into the industry. That's how I decided to utilize, like I had already done Ween, I had already done my internships. I was a recent college grad. So everything changed, my whole life perspective changed after that. Like I was like, oh, life is real. Like my cousin had passed away when I was a teenager, but that was the one where I was like, when the pastors prayed over us, it changed my perspective on how to walk into the world. And so, yeah, every time I went into a room, I was like, no. Like, God has me here. I was always a kid that, like, watched Oprah. We all watched Oprah every day after school. But, like, me and my friends were studying, like, okay, so Oprah said that the best way, this expert said that prayer, like, we were always very serious kids. So, like, I was always, like, posting. When we first started posting, I was always posting quotes. I was so inspired. Everything I did had to do with inspiration. Like, I was the Super Soul Sunday every single Sunday. Like, I was always that girl that wanted, was thirsty, a seeker, always wanting to know how to keep my heart in this crazy industry and also to keep my faith first. And so that's where it comes from, that like real basis of my parents raised me in the church, but having your own encounter with God is a game changer. And when you do, it doesn't mean your life will be perfect. My life has not been perfect. My faith has wavered. I've absolutely been like, God, come down, square up. Like, I know you gonna fight me a different way. It's just, but I need you to square up because you said this. Like, I've been that person, but my faith has absolutely been that thing that you see. Like, that is just God and me always thirsting for the best ways to show up for myself.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how it started. Now, life has lived. So I've learned now that, like, there are parts of myself that I lost on the journey. And sometimes I try to recall that version of myself, that girl that like was so inspired and watching everything and, you know, was watching Maya Angelou interviews every day. And like, and when the dreams that you believed were true don't come true, it kind of it shakes you. It shakes you to your core. And so I have learned now that, like, on the other side of the journey, I am not the same girl, but that doesn't mean that I'm not just as brilliant, just as beautiful, just as light-filled. I'm just not naive. Mm-hmm. And so the naivete part of it has been a struggle because, like, the grass ain't as green as I thought it would be on the other side of, like, what I thought the world would look like and be like, because the world is in shambles right now. And so that is, like, it's just not as pink or bright or beautiful as what I thought life would look like at this age for me. But on the other side, I'm like, Lord, you've kept me through so much, and you have given me this beautiful career and this platform and this time, and my family's okay and my friends are okay. And mm-hmm. I have a roof over my head and I can pay for things. And, you know, like I all those things matter to me. So I've learned now that it's all still working for my good. And I am not 22 years old anymore, and I don't want people to look at me completely differently, but I'm not a baby anymore. And so looking young gets annoying because people be like, oh, you're so cute. I'm like, girl, I'm 33. I've been through things. I've been through things. But yeah, that's where it comes from.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Deeply well. Everything that you shared was so, 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 so powerful.
Thank you.
So powerful, so embodied, so metabolized.
Thank you.
I just really, I'm just taking in and really hearing all of it because there was so much depth, so much inspiration. And I think I really understand what you're saying, you know, just kind of like even imagining you as a younger person and just the ways that you connect to inspiration and inspiring, and that being such a necessary and important component of your own purpose and what you're meant to share and lead and guide with. And I think that's felt in all of your work.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you, Sue.
Wow.
I mean, it's one of those things that, like, and you understand it because you understand both sides of the career. We've been on spaces and writing things that we're like, I don't care. This is horrible. No one cares about this. When the industry changed from being more about clicks than about facts and substance and storytelling. The people, those of us who got into it to tell people stories, to sit across from someone who had just had this amazing moment in their life and we get to celebrate and be like, girl, you won that Grammy, what's up? And it became more about like, oh, she slept with someone, and that became what our editors wanted from us. And as people that don't have that decision, you either get fired or you ask that question, it does, like I said, it starts to make you be like, oh, this world is really a wild place.
That's when I left.
Yep.
Yeah. That's when I left. I was like, oh, I'm out. You know?
This is enough.
I think too, it, for me growing up, I always wanted to be two things. I either wanted to be a news anchor or a child psychologist.
Yes, I remember.
And I wanted to be, you know, all the things like a writer and, you know, but I was so deeply connected to music and hip hop. And so sometimes I found myself even in more of the trenches than most because my start specifically started in hip hop and in underground hip hop. And so being the only woman in the room being, and it was, I mean, yeah, it's a troubled now, but it was really God, the depths of the misogyny and the, you know, all the things. And so, yeah, I so.
You get it.
I so get it. And I think too, you know, and I'm a little bit older than you, but around the time that the industry was really significantly changing, because I got in before it changed. Yes. And then I was there for the first part of the change. Yes. And then some of it, you know, that is kind of how it looks now.
Yes.
But, you know, I remember something that was very, that I was just tracking and noticing a lot was when like bodies became the most important thing, you know, it's like, I remember I would see pictures of even colleagues and peers or doing interviews. And I always maintained being the host of a community show wherever I was, in addition to whatever entertainment element there was. I was always trying to put down roots in the community. But, you know, I was like, God, people are celebrating the shape of someone's ass more than like the light that's present in their eyes or like seeing their face. Or, and for me, I just naturally will never do what anyone else does. Like it's just in my hard wiring. And I always wanted to be valued for my brain. And it's funny, something you said, you're like, I look young. And so that made, I always look happy.
Right.
And so that always made, and I would be like, don't let the smile fool you. Like she could fight.
Hello.
But like,
never let it.
But I, and I'm like, I can't control that. That's my face. I look enthusiastic. I can't control it.
Right.
But like my depth is what matters to me. Do you see that? My brain, I feed my brain. I study constantly. Like I believe in intellect and language and like that vast internal world. And so there was so much about beauty that I rejected in myself and in others. And, you know, so much I was rejecting in the way that people were kind of sharing themselves, especially because of the views and the likes, where again, it's like, you know, we're humans. We're kind of wired for aesthetics. So if someone has a beautiful shape, they're going to have more followers. Right. They're going to get more clicks. But what I'm glad that is happening now, and this is not to shame beautiful shapes in any way, but now that kind of everybody has that or does that, we're
coming back.
We're the balance is shifting a little bit and we're coming into more even ground where, okay, and what else? Because that doesn't last. And that's kind of like when you see women who, you know, like I want to be regarded as an elder.
Yeah.
I want to be regarded as a sacred elder. I want to walk around with grace radiating from me and it not having to be about looks. But then sometimes you'll see, you know, people who are maybe in the ages that we consider elders, and to them, the most important thing is still how they look, like small dresses or makeup,
or don't
is,
call me
is someone
auntie.
Noticing me. And
I understand it.
It's like, I get it. We want to look good. She want to be fine.
Hello,
at 90.
And still
I want to be flexible at 90.
Period.
I want to be doing all the things.
And will be.
And will be. Yes. Thank you, Lord. But there's something to be said about really honoring and cultivating your wisdom and your depth and the qualities that can kind of radiate out a lot farther and faster than just the way that you look, your grace, you know? And I just think it's important. And that's why I think it's so important that you exist and that you have, you know, the ability to just kind of take up as big of space as you've taken up in places like the Today Show, mm-hmm. having your own show on Revolt TV and sharing things with more depth and in a different way. It's so important mm-hmm. that people see that, hey, this is an option too. Mm. So if you felt alienated, outcasted, alone, you know, because maybe you weren't measuring up in the same ways that society was valuing things, it's so important to know that there just are other lanes. There are other pathways.
And I'm so proud of like all the people who have not, again, no judgment on anyone because some people really were like, no, I just wanted to get these done because I've always wanted, like before it became a fad.
And I don't even mean surgery, whether it's natural, whether it's surgery, whatever. Your body is your body.
Your body is your body. And you got to feel.
But there's other things that are valuable outside of that. Certain shapes of things that are connected to us.
Yes. And I love when people, I love that there are girls that are all about beauty. I love that there are girls that are all about fashion. I love that there are girls that are like, I'm an author. And today I didn't comb my hair. I love Solange so much because when I think about like that song, I Am Not My Hair, and how even Beyonce be like, the edges is curly today, let them swivel up. Like sometimes we will not feel like putting on to be seen, and that's okay too. And I think there's space for both to exist. Yeah. Like I love the memes that say like, I either look like a troll under a bridge or a supermodel. There is no in between.
That's me all day.
If you see me at the wrong time at the grocery store, ooh, child, don't even look at me. I am not to be seen today. I don't have no makeup on. And I don't care because sometimes our skin needs to breathe. But like sometimes I don't feel like talking. Like sometimes I really need time to recharge because we give so much of ourselves. Next thing you know, you're like,
can I tell you, I have a button that says honoring silence. So when we used to do retreats with Chopra, one of the retreats we do each year was our silent retreat. And I'd be leading these retreats with Deepak, and we'd have about 400 people. We'd be in the woods and everyone would be holding silent. So there would be absolutely no talking, and we'd be meditating, you know, 6 hours a day in courses, hearing from Deepak. And so I have, like, we had these buttons that everyone would wear. And so I have a few, and sometimes I'll take a day and I'll say, I have to be in silence today. And I'll put that button on. And I'll still move through my neighborhood. Mm. And if I need to order something, I'll just kind of tap to the button, smile, say, you know, like show gratitude and get what I need.
I love it.
But there is something that is so powerful and beautiful about having chances and opportunities in your days, your weeks, your months to not have to play a role for anyone, right? Like even the little dance we do when we're holding a door for someone, when you're catching someone's eye, quick smile, it's beautiful. We're connected, we're in community, but we have to have opportunities where we're not doing that so that we can get to the innate essence of who we are and see what needs our attention.
Yeah, sometimes I just take myself to like a good beach and I'll be like, I don't have it today, but I'm gonna sit with the ocean and I'm gonna hear the birds and I'm gonna, you know, take my time and not worry about waking up on time and just sit with my thoughts. And that is such a necessary thing for me. Like I can feel when I'm burning out. Like I'm like, oh, all right, I've got to pull it back because if not, then I will be limping through the things I need to do instead of fully showing up.
Yeah.
And so I agree. There's something so great about being like, no, I'm going away.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? LegalShield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place.
Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Deeply.
Wow.
You are someone that is very busy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of the work that you do, it is about kind of what is happening right now in the world and what do I need to say? What am I, you know, highlighting? What am I showing?
Yeah.
So that means your brain and body and your emotional world are connected to a lot of different things at once.
Yeah.
How do you maintain this light mm-hmm. and this peace amidst such a busy, thriving career?
My daily practice looks like making sure that I wake up in enough time to journal for at least 20-30 minutes. Because I have not only is my mental space always on, like with million tabs open, that does not help that I'm like an overthinker anyway, like naturally, since I was old enough to be aware of my thoughts. I have always had a journal. Shout out to Moesha and Mara Brock-Akil because y'all saved us. I needed to be able to write in a diary because it just was a space for me that I could be 100% myself and also just get out the thoughts. And so I've had a diary or now a journal since I was like 12 or 11 years old. And so that's always been a space for me to be, one, let the thoughts out and see how I feel. But then two, make sure that my if the thoughts are not great and if they are on the depressive side, because I have had bouts of depression before in my life, I make sure that like I write it and let it be seen and let it be felt and let it be heard, even if it's just me, my eyes that are seeing it. And when I have the energy and when I am not like, some days I'm like, I gotta sulk, I gotta feel it, whatever this is, it's a pattern that keeps coming up. So let me feel everything. Let me do a spiral. Let me watch Netflix for an hour or two and just let it be. But when I finally get the energy to like really sit and fight for that light that exists again, I write literally the bad thoughts and then the reality, like the lie and the truth. Because a lot of the times, it's just, we don't even know whose thoughts we're consuming because we are always getting messages from everything and everyone. I worry about my generation and especially this next generation coming up right now because we are the first generation to live in constant awareness of thousands of other people's lives.
Yes.
Like growing up, our parents had to know about the people down the street, the 20-30 people that they grew up with in their family and immediately friends. And in high school, and that's where everything, and that's why they would get married out of high school and college, because it was only 16 people that they met. And now we literally interact with 16 people in 1 second, whether we when we swipe our phones.
Yeah.
And I worry about that a lot because I'm like, what does that do to us? What are we energetically spending energy on, spending time investing, spending thought on that is not what other generations have?
Yes.
And how is that going to change us?
Girl.
Because I went to a party the last weekend. And it was so fun because people didn't have their phones out for once. And I was like, wow, this must have been what it was like in the 90s. Like, this is nice. Like, this is like,
it's the adult life we thought we were walking into, right? Like, that was the generation we were kind of watching and thinking that was going to be our path.
Exactly.
And it's so funny you say this because 2 years ago, well, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what year it is. Maybe a little more than that. Who knows? What's time?
Right? But, no, honestly, after COVID,
it could have been yesterday. It could have been 4 years ago.
But a couple of years ago, I actually unfollowed 100% of everybody on all of my social media for that very reason. Mm. Because it came into my awareness, like, I don't want to know the nuance of everyone's life. I have to have space in my own brain for me. Yeah. And it's like, and you know, there's people that you can, I loved meeting you. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And like, if I catch eyes with you again and we're somewhere, it's going to be like, wow, it's great to see you. But do I need to know what you cook every day? Do I need to know what you're currently thinking about, what you're reading, the plants in your house, the thing? I don't. Yeah. If you're not an active member of my life, it is not necessary for either of us to be invested in the nuance of one another's day to day. It takes up way too much space. It's unnatural. It's not how things are supposed to flow. And I also worry about the pressure that's on our brains. You know, there was something I read that said, in an hour, we think about more things than our ancestors thought about for the entirety of their lives. Now, if you really think of the depth of that, and obviously that's for such a multitude of reasons, right? Like, we're so overly connected. Yes. We have, so we're able to see everything that's happening in the world at all times. We're investigating ourselves. We, you know, there's 9 billion people on the planet, you know, all the things.
So many things. Work.
But also I think about all the stats that come out about women's health, and we're overthinkers anyway, because we're typically the connective tissue. We're the glue for a lot of things. So, the rates of Alzheimer's in women, the rates of dementia in women, right? Brain fog in women. For so many women, brain fog lasts from pregnancy till forever, you know? And it's like, okay, so why is that? What are we over kind of pumping information that is not necessary into our brains 24/7?
Right.
I'd rather use the time to study something I'm interested in, or I'd rather use the time to go deeper with the reciprocal relationships in my life, yes, where we're nourishing one another. Mm. I need to know about the nuance of the lives of people I'm intimately connected with. That's how we stay connected. That's how we stay fresh. That's how we see each other and we're able to go deeper.
Yeah.
I cannot and I will not do that for every acquaintance I know or every person that, you know, I just got along with for a little bit or met at an event or every person that likes me. Yes. I can't do it.
Ooh, that's good, because it's wild how many like ways that we can sign up for friendships that we had no idea we were a part of. And I'm like, well, who said that? Because we went out one time. And now you want me out every night. It's like, first of all, I sleep. Like, I love my sleep. But second of all,
you don't know my middle name.
You don't know my middle name. Like, I've had, and that's another thing that I've had. Also, I want to finish up our question about how I actively participate in building light in my life. It's spending time with family. Like, I'm between New York and LA. Not really New York as much, but really between DC and LA. I'm always on a flight to DC because I know that my parents won't be here forever. And like, I cannot and I will not waste time. And it has surely affected my dating life, because it's like, girl, you need to be sitting your butt down in one place and maybe people want to know, you know, where you at. But I don't know. Every time I go home and I see my parents, I'm just like, thank God I can call my mommy. I can call my dad. That's amazing. I can call my brother and my sister. That's amazing. So I really soak up their light. They've known me. They don't care what I do. Yes, I make them very proud. Great. They raised us to be proud. We have to be something to be proud of. We have no choice. My brother, my sister, and myself have no choice but to continue to show up in the greatness that they literally blaze the trail of. Like, that is not something that we take lightly, and we know it. So we are always constantly trying to make sure that, you know, when they pass the baton of the family and the house and all that, we're carrying it somewhere higher. So that's nice. That's
so beautiful.
Right. And that's, so that's like a given. That's given in our life. You better be excellent. Like, my parents worked their butt off so we would be. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, you know, that's something that's really important to me. And the people in DC know me and care for me in a way that, like, because I'm theirs. Like, I was born in DC and Maryland. Like, that's, I'm home all the time. Like, I'm always putting on for the DMV because it's all of who I am, or shapes so much of who I am. And then the industry is interesting because you meet people who only see you from like the industry on.
Yeah.
And they have no idea like what you went through to get there.
Yeah.
But they think they know you. And it's like, because they've seen you for years and you're like, oh, okay. Why do you think that about me? Like, I've had to ask some of my industry friends, like, you think that, okay, you think that's true. Yeah, no, that's a pattern that's a war wound that I put up a wall around to protect me so I wouldn't injure myself even more deeply, but that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've learned to put up walls, but then some of my best friend Kristen, when I'm home and I'm a little too, like, thuggy, she like, you're not in New York, you're not in LA, put it down. You're fine. You're home. And I've had to learn how to put up walls to protect myself, but also make sure that when I am going home, it's a sacred time because I can be my full self. I can literally just be like, girl, these people got my nerves. I don't want to talk about work. What's going on with you and what's going on with life? And it reminds me that life outside of work really, really matters. And so I stay around my people, like my day ones, my family and my friends. And then I also go to church. No matter where I am, I'm pulling up to somebody's church. Mm-hmm. Like that is everything for me. So I have churches that I go to in Cali, like One Church LA and Cali Worship. DC, I have Zion and First Baptist of Glenarden and my parents' family church. And then I have New York, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Atlanta, because I'm always there. I've started to go to Change Church. So like if I'm there on a Sunday, like people know that I will be like, I'm not working Sunday mornings or even Sunday. If there's like a church service that I got to miss to do this, I'm not doing it.
Wow.
Because church really, fellowship and the 2 hours or whatever you get to just actually sit there really just helps me in a different way, especially in my 30s. Like, and after COVID, when we really couldn't go, that's when I was like, oh, whenever church opens back up, I'm gonna be there.
Wow.
So that's been my fuel.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And what a gorgeous anchoring. You know, it's like, you know what you need. And so wherever you happen to be doing whatever work you happen to be doing, you know how to connect to the core of yourself.
Yeah.
You know how to meet your needs wherever life takes you. Mm-hmm. That is so powerful.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle.
Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Deeply.
Wow.
So last piece, I want to talk about congratulations on finishing season 1 of your show.
Woo!
More Than That with Gia Peppers, Revolt TV.
Episode 2, Debbie Brown.
I'm on episode 2.
Get into the beauty and wellness, y'all.
God, what I really loved about the show that you created was there may be a theme to each episode, but you're telling the story in such a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah.
And I think you really were diving into some of the side streets of whatever it was that you were investigating or sharing. And I think it gave people so much information, especially for the episode that I'm on, episode 2, about wellness. it was, you know, it's like when we think of wellness, It's a massive umbrella that so many things are under. And yes, I evaluate it as like a $3 trillion industry at this time. But wellness encompasses everything from workout to literal health and insurance and like to mental health, to emotional health, to spiritual health,
to eating
to
right,
food, to nutrition, to exercise. And, you know, it's just everything falls under that category. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was really cool because in the episode that I did with you, we had a chance to kind of dive into meditation. We had like this beautiful ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then we also got to dive into like beauty, and we got to dive into like, what are the things that we're putting on and in our bodies? Mm-hmm. And all of that is so important when we understand that we want to be well, or have more access to wellness, or expand our well-being. Yeah. Like, we got to dive into all the fibers of it. So talk to me, one, how was it kind of taking it from a podcast, turning it into a TV show? Yeah. And then how did creating this season, what did it mean to you?
Well, I think first, I have to say that Urban One and Dentsu actually came up with the show before I was even a part of it. So Brittany Packnett Cunningham was the original intended host of this really? Show. So this show came out of an answer.
Hey, Brittany.
Right? Hey, Cisco. We love you, Cisco. Bye, Cisco. We love you. But also a guest on several episodes more than that. But my favorite thing about it was this was a project that came out of the challenge that Black America put on all these corporations during the Civil Rights 2.0 uprising of 2020 and 2021 after George Floyd's murder and all the subsequent murders that happened after that. This was Urban One and Dentsu's way of making sure that they were creating conversations that were about how we move forward with all we know, but how we approach wellness from every single aspect of what's happening in our lives. Like, being a Black person, and Brittany Packnett Cunningham is the person that said this, every Black person you meet is a miracle because of all the crap that is always put into our minds and our bodies. Literally from the time we was stolen from Africa to like that, the oppression, the literal things that we have to always fight through to even show up. Like, how are we having conversations now about, okay, so this is where we are. We've got incredible movement, but clearly there's a lot of work still to be done. How are we taking care of the full person? And so we, season one in 2021, Brittany called me and was like, sis, I am overwhelmed. I have a whole bunch of shows already on my plate. Mine, you know, Brittany's an activist. She really about this. Yeah. Like, you don't follow Brittany Packnett Cunningham, Miss Pack Yeti. I don't know what you're doing, but she was already, her plate was so full. And she was like, I wanted to give it to somebody that I thought would do a great job with this. So she called me. I didn't really know much about the show. I just knew it was about making sure that we had conversations around wellness and social justice. And at that time, I'm trying to figure out how to activate my activism because, you know, we were all trying to figure out, well, how can I do it? We're marching, we're donating, but I still felt like I wanted to do more. And this show gave me that opportunity to do that. So I always say shout out to my sister, Brittany, because that's why sisterhood matters. Peer and love matters, because if I can't do something, I know that I can call you, or I can call a whole gang of girls that I know would do it well if I cannot do it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm at capacity. And so that's how that happened initially. In the first seasons, we talked about everything from the Black maternal mortality rate to how food is literally fuel for your body, and why certain conversations that we're having around social justice are confusing for older generations, and what we can say to make sure that we are leveling the playing field. And more than that, on radio was in 104 markets. So it was really dope because we got older generations to listen to kind of what was happening on Black Twitter. And like, it was interesting to hear like, oh, okay, so that's what that hashtag means. You know, just it was like a almost like a dinner time dialogue series that I really loved, because you could bring these topics, these vast topics, these major things that were happening in that era, in that year, and bring them back to the dinner table and be like, okay, mom and dad or grandma, I think we need to have a conversation about what you're eating or what you're listening to or what to say in the delivery room that could maybe save your life. Like, so there were really important conversations that we were having.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they came up with that series. There's several producers that are amazing, and that we all work together. And essentially every season we come together, kind of look in our timelines and our text message threads, what are the conversations that we're having, and what's making people stressed and worried? What do we need to really talk about? And what do we need to unpack that we haven't before? And so they wanted to bring it to TV. And so they sent it out to different brands, and Revolt ended up being our distribution partners. And so we partnered with G Factor, Torrance, who you met on set. And then Dentsu is still, you know, making sure that partners like all P&G, Kroger, GM, all these people are coming along to make sure that they're funding these conversations, because it takes so much money, y'all, to do these things. Nobody really talks about how much it takes to like film episodes. Yeah. And so we figured out four topics that we haven't really touched on or wanted to go deeper into. And we sat down, came up with a plan, and figured out how to get into these cities and talk about certain things that are happening that are always going to be representative of more than one city in the world. Like, we talked about how HBCUs need more funding on episode one with Angel from the Spy Suite. That's my sister, who was also in the first season. And then my mom, who is a professor at Howard and a Howard grad, two-time Howard graduate, and the reason why I know why I love Howard University so much. And so, you know, Howard is underfunded, but so are all the HBCUs, like, for the most part. So we talked about that. Then beauty and wellness. If we think about the $3 trillion, we also think about the fact that the first ever millionaire was a Black, the first ever beauty millionaire that we know of in Black, in the Black space, was Madam C.J. Walker. So there's so many people who are carrying on the legacy of beauty and wellness, yeah, and making money in their communities, but also doing it with intention and doing it for the opportunities to allow women to take up space. And so when we thought about that, I was like, oh, I know someone who's always making sure that women can take up their space through all the work that she does. And so when we were thinking about guests, I was like, oh no, we must have Devi Brown. She's going to be on here. She's going to be incredible. And she was. So make sure you guys check that out. But we really wanted to make sure that we sit down and we do something different, because there's a lot of loud topics that have nothing to do with our lives. They're just like numbing and also a way to be like, oh, well, that I've never done that. I'm not that. Like, sometimes people just be watching it just to be like, well, look, at least I didn't do that. I may have done this. But this stuff can actually help you. Like, these conversations we're having can actually make you think twice about something in your life and hopefully improve it in that area. Or if you see something in your town, in your community that you're not liking, maybe we can give you some inspiration on how to step up to the plate if you are ever given an opportunity, or you make your opportunity to change something for the better. And so, yeah, I love where we got with it, and hopefully we'll get to do more. $12 million was reinvested into Black businesses, Black communities through this work. So it's been amazing. But I did not, you know, create the show. I was brought on after it was kind of already pitched and greenlit. And from there, that's why I had to fight to be a co-EP, because my voice now, of course, matters to the show much more. I make sure I fight for the certain things. I don't win every fight. But at the end of the day, that's how the show came together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been a crazy ride. We work hard.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. We work hard.
We work hard. Debbie, it is hard work.
Yeah.
But at the other side of it, I learned a lot about like making sure that if you ever let someone put your name in a show, that you create it, because everybody does think I created it. And I'm like, eh, I didn't, y'all. It's not, but I am creating things now that I'm actually having full autonomy over. I'm funding them. Like, as you know, this is a real important work that you make sure that you're not over edited or over, not really able to show up as your full self. And so sometimes when you do sign on to things that already exist, or you work with other platforms that have you in mind for a certain thing, you don't get to show your full personality or your full breadth of what you care about. And so now I am creating spaces for those conversations. So I'm grateful for the experience, though, because it definitely gave me back more confidence as a creative.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Creation is so important.
It's so important.
Oh, Gia. Okay, as we close this episode, at the end of every episode, I like to invite our guests to share some soul work with our listening audience that they can take with them for after this episode, whether it's to journal, it could be a prompt, it could be a self-care practice, it could be a quote or a piece of advice.
Mm.
But what would you like to share with the audience that they can kind of savor as this episode ends?
I love it. I would tell everyone listening, because we had a lot of creative conversation and we had a lot of conversation about like industry and showing up as your full self. I would tell every person who listens that you are an answered prayer, that there is so much about you that you would never even know, because when you were in your mom's belly or when your grandparents were praying that there would be a generation that would be more free than them, when God put his ideas to work and put them into life through you, you are already here for a purpose, already here for a reason, and everything you're doing is what matters. to your life. There's a reason why you're breathing. There's a reason why you're still here. And I hope you take stock in that and take pride in the fact that you fought to see another day. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you are grateful for what you've been through and grateful for what will come ahead, because what's for you will never miss you. It's already predestined. It's already pre-written. All you have to do is continue to try and show up to be the best version of yourself, to take up that space, because it's literally yours. Like for me, again, God and my faith is what drives me. And the Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future." Like that's one of the things that always keeps me going. So just remember that there are plans assigned to you, for you on purpose. Whatever vision that you have, it might be hard, it might be scary, it might be something that you feel that is bigger than you, but that is okay because it is for you and no one can do it exactly like you do it. So show up, show out, and we can't wait to see what you do.
Wow. You are such a beautiful person.
Thank you, sister. So are you.
Thank you.
I love you so much. Thank you for having me.
I love you too. Thank you for joining. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your devotion to the calling on your life.
Thank you. I received that. Thank you for having me. I want to come back. This is amazing.
Yeah, come back. Come back all the time. This is a great conversation. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. However this show may have found its way into your heart, your ears, and your brain. Share this with someone that you think will really feel this in a deep way. And then talk about it. Namaste. Namaste. Connect with me on social at Devi Brown. That's Twitter and Instagram. Or you can go to my website, devibrown.com. And if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, don't forget, please rate, review, and subscribe, and send this episode to a friend. Deeply Well is a production of iHeartRadio and the Black Effect Network. It's produced by Jacquees Thomas, Samantha Timmons, and me, Devi Brown. The beautiful sound bath you heard? That's by Geralyn Glass from Crystal Cadence. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.